Dedicate our learning, as always, we give hodah to the Rabbanu Shalom for one of the greatest miracles I've seen in my life with an entire nation against us, many nations, but this one, Iran, for the first time in the history of the state of Israel, Iran attacked, and those stupid people like myself who stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning, 3:30, waiting for it. It was a pretty unbelievable sight. The Chazdei Hashem, we give hodah to the Rabbanu Shalom, as we said here in Shul, Mizma L'Soida. We give Toda to the Rabbanu Shalom that he saved us. But we continue to daven for our soldiers and for all the cholim klal yisrael, and certainly the hostages who continue to be on our mind, especially as we go into the chodesh, as we're in the chodesh of Gula and the zman Gula seino. We should be zeicher to only beserus toiv zeshua asar nachomis. So this will be our last year before Pesach. So we want to don't cry. So we want to discuss many of the different halachas. And I've just put down a bunch of potpourri, a bunch of different halachas that are related to the Seder. Some of them are the obvious ones, but I'll try to get to ones that are not so obvious that we do at the Seder. So first of all, if I were to ask you, what are the mitzvahs midaraisa? Mitzvah midaraisa of Pesach night. It's only matzah and sipur yitzias mitzrayim. Correct. V'yagat levincha b'yom ahu. Oh, another sfardi. Well, now we're out. That we're too many sfardi. I have to get up now? No, I have to get up. Four, I'll get up. So, Achilas Matzah. So we know, of course, we say at the Seder, Pesach Matzah Umarar. So we know that, unfortunately, without the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the Korban Pesach. In fact, we have to be careful that when we say Pesach Matzah Umarar, not to point, some people do this, right? Pesach Matzah Umarar, some people point to the Pesach. They point to the little, you know, the shank bone, as we call it in English, the zeroah, we really usually use kanafayim, use the wing or something like that. You shouldn't point to it, because that's not the Korban Pesach. In fact, we're so machmir that we're not allowed to have tzli yesh, we're not allowed to have something that's grilled on, we're not supposed to have it. Maybe if it has amount of liquid in it, it would be mutter, but that's generally what the halacha is. So maror, and maror as well, because maror was in, matzos maror mechlu was in b'tzman Beis HaMikdash, when they had what I believe to be, your Sephardim will appreciate this, was a lafa. Yeah. Do you have your matzahs or lafas or no? Do you have regular matzahs?
No, we don't.
You don't? Really? Interesting. So as we know, the Sephardim have the lafas. Oh, God. So, shoot, I have to get up. So, no, it's not a bad thing that you're here. So, I know, but I said I would get up. But no. So, the halacha is that the Sephardim, I believe, at Bizman Beis HaMikdash, the Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zochem. I think we could already get it in this year. We could do a fast thing. We could do a fast Korban Pesach. Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zochem. So I think that what we'll be eating is something that we all know very, very well. It's going to be a shawarma, right? Because the meat of the Korban Pesach is shawarma meat, right?
It's going to be cooked by the metal.
Right, Nechanami, very good. It'll be cooked a little bit differently. It'll be a shawarma like you never had. The maror will be harif. You know, and it'll be a little soul, you know, for your Sephardim. And the matzahs we know will be not matzahs that we have, those crispy crackers, will have a lafa. That will be. So, but we don't have this matzah, something the shayakayim, but we don't have that today. So it's only matzah. There's a shaylun halacha, which of the two matzahs are midaraisa. There's a famous shita that we some follow, that really the matzah at the end is the matzah midaraisa, which means the afikomen, which creates a problem in how we're allowed to say a bracha. I listened to a shir by Rabbi Sobolsky on this, and Rabbi Usher Weiss. How are you allowed to say? And then I just heard a shir. I don't even know who the person is. I should mention his name. But he had a very interesting shir. I just happened to find that I was on. Was doing a lot of gardening work today. So I was looking for shirim in halacha on Spotify. And let's see if I can find. Oh, yes. The Kolel. Kolel Ion Halacha. Some rav from, I can't see the name now. He was a rav from Lakewood, one of the Lakewood yeshivas. Anyway, from the Lakewood yeshiva here, Kol Halacha Iyun. Yeah. Wow. This is his name is Rav Simcha Bonim Londinsky. But now I just see they just put one up right now from Rav Franz. Something to listen to. Anyway, sorry. So he questions this, which it is. And then the question would be, how are you allowed to make a bracha, right? How are you allowed to make a bracha? We say alechilas matzah. So we know we have an idea of hefsek. But the real shaila is where Rabbi Sobolsky discussed this, but we do this all the time. What do I mean? We do this all the time. We make a bracha on the shofar, and the first 30 kolos are not the Ikar Mitzvah. The Ikar Mitzvah is on Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, is to say it, I'll say the brachas. Whether or not, if you're like the Svardim, and Nisach Svardim, Rav Soloveitchik followed this, I blow shofar for, not for a living, I blow shofar. And so 1 year I blew shofar for a shul, and they followed Rav Soloveitchik's minhag, which I believe is the minhag of Svardim, where you blow shofar in the silent Shemoneh Esrei. It's very interesting, right? This is what you guys do. Do you know what I'm talking about? What? We only blow. It's much more difficult. I'll tell you why in a second. We blow shofar only during Chazaras Hashatz, which you also do. What that means is it leaves an extra 40 kolos at the end. You do 30-30.
Yeah.
Right? So you do 60, so you have 90. So for a shofar blower, it's actually much, much easier. And then at the end, all you do is an extra 10. That's it. It is a little bit more difficult to have kavana if you're a shofar blower. In general, it's difficult to have kavana because you're always thinking about the shofar. And, you know, they tell a famous story, I forgot who it's about, but it sounds like a Kutzker Rebbe story, where the Kutzker Rebbe was looking for a good shofar blower. I know we're in Pesach, don't worry, I know the holidays. They were looking for a good shofar blower, and so they came to him and he said, "Nu, tell me the kavonas you have." So they want to impress the Kutzker Rebbe. He said, "Oh, kavonas, the yonim, the tachtoinim, the whole ganze geshach." The next one comes up and he says, "I'm thinking about this, and the klipus, and the knife and toivim, and the blah, 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 blah." And then another person says, "I'll be honest with you, I'm scared to death to blow shofar in front of the great Rebbe." So Yom, he says, "That's what you have to come on for. Be a normal person, right?" The same Kutzker Rebbe. They tell a story that they wanted to impress the Kutzker Rebbe. So when they went down after Seder, they went down to lunch. So everybody right before they ate, they say, "Hinei muchin l'kayim mitzvahs." You know, we're only eating laman kedushas of the food, and that we're going to be able to learn better. And then the Kutzker Rebbe wanted to make fun of them. He says, "I'm eating laman boch. I'm eating for my stomach." He says, "Stop it. What are we eating for? We eat for our stomach. Stop making up all these different things." So, okay, there are all these different kavanas. So we do it within. But the truth is, everybody agrees that the ikar midaraisa is betoch. We know that we do miusha muumad is only because, probably, right, the Aruf is a satan. Some people say that's really why we do it at the end. 100 kolos are not really, it's really 30 kolos. But we do in the beginning because there used to be a minhag. Unfortunately, they wouldn't let them blow shofar. They would come at Musaf. And also people wouldn't come, people would leave. It doesn't matter. In any case, so how can we blow shofar in the 30 kolos? Because that's not the Ikar kolos. So you have the same halacha over here, that maybe you have that same problem over there. How exactly you get out of it? So this is a halachic anomaly, whether or not you hold from it or not. The Brisker Rav has an idea of how to get out of it. But again, there are other people who actually won't talk. It's not really fair because they say that Rav Chaim had like a 2 minute, Rav Asher Weiss was saying this as well, that Rav Asher Weiss says that this wasn't a really big question because Rav Asher Weiss said, "When I went to my Rebbe, the Klusenberger Rebbe, he ate for like 5 seconds. To us, the biggest important part of the meal is the meal. The meal is the most important part of the Seder." So that's okay. So it's possible not to talk. But when we have a meal for an hour's, so it could be a shiloh. How the bracha, whether that bracha is on this or not. Okay, that's an additional idea that maybe you've never heard of before.
Why can't you just say that you had kavana for after? If you had that cup of Coke Zero with kavana, then I'm going to have another cup.
Yeah, the question is that's exactly what we're doing. But the hefsek is the question. That's what we do for karpas, right? Karpas, we let you, right? We make a bracha, bo pri adama. We make another bo pri adama. We should make another bo pri adama on maror. Again, this is the interesting question also. Here's a difference with Sfarim and Ashkenazim. How many brachas do we make on the abrakosos? Easy answer. How many brachas?
Two.
How many brachas of bo pri agafen?
One, two, three, four, five, six.
There are four kosos. So the answer cannot be more than four.
So one, two.
Have you ever been to the Seder? Four.
Four.
Three?
Four.
Four?
One.
Svardim, you want to guess?
I think four. I don't remember.
Okay, four is the correct answer, except it's the incorrect answer for him. But it's four. Four.
Two,
right, it's two. Why? So we all agree that the first cup is the easiest cup. That's the Arba Kosos. That's the Kos on, obviously. That's Kiddush. So Kiddush we would say no matter what. That's no Shiloh. That's no Shiloh. Nobody's going to question that Shiloh. The second cup becomes a very big question. What are we saying another Boi Pri Gafen for? Ah, so you're going to say that there was such a hefsek. You're going to say that I didn't have in mind. And we said the whole Seder. For, by some people, that's the Ikar of the night. Hours and hours and hours and hours could take. I just heard this great story.
I can't really
say. He was a Rav of Chabad, and he decided as being a Chabad rabbi, so one of the things you do, he made a communal Seder. right? A very, very difficult thing. It had all different types of people. And some people didn't exactly understand what the Seder was. So this woman comes and she says, what's going on with the food? I'm starving. You don't understand that if you're at the Seder, you know how long it could take. If you don't know what's going on and you come, right, and all Nebuch, you imagine the first course, you know, the first course, they pass around the celery and they, and they're like, seriously, is that it? You had a little wine. You're like, okay. And then you have a little celery and that's it for hours. So she couldn't take it anymore. I'm just really true. She picked up the phone, Pesach. She called Domino's Pizza. She ordered 30 pies for everybody. He said it was the worst data. And then when they went into the kitchen, they realized that all the chicken was spoiled. The cleaner had come, had left the refrigerator, so they had no food. It was terrible. Everybody wanted to eat the pizza. And he's not. Okay, fine. So Hefzig, he said we had a. She says, I convinced the lady to cancel the order for Domino's. And he says there was this 95-year-old lady who was complaining at her table. We're little kids, and she hates kids. And he said, I learned from that. He goes, somebody was asking, the headlines they had, what's your best Seder? He says, that was my best Seder. I realized that. Okay, we all have to have a Seder, right? Okay, and anyway. So one of the Sfardim agreed, and the Sfardim said, yeah. You have to have a kos on Kiddush. You have to have a kos when you have benching. We normally don't do this, but really the halacha is, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, says that really all the time we have benching, but we do it for it. All the time when we bench, we always bench with, we should bench with the kos. We only are knowing to do this when we have 10. I'm not sure, that's not really the appropriate halacha. Certainly when you have 3, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was very machbid on this. 1, so many people don't do it on 1, that's a bit much. But the Seder, we do that. If we had 1, obviously many times we have more than that. Everybody benches on a kos. The question is, what about the fourth cup? So this is a machlikus between the Achronim. Svar of Achronim said, yeah, of course you only do 2. I don't want to say, I'm not, but 2 actually makes a little bit more sense than 4. We do 4. No, 4 with 3 makes sense.
Because you're also saying an Aleph.
What?
You're saying it's Halil at night,
so
you say
Halil. So you say Halil al kos, you say. Yeah. The Halil should say be al kos. Yeah, I mean, listen, we're Noyeg, even the Ashkenazim, so after, we do say al gefen pri al gefen, after we say Birkel Samazon. That there's no question about. Svaridim and Stamma don't say that because they're waiting until the fourth cup. So they say it's not a hefsek. Just like it's not a hefsek, they don't say a bracha by 1 and 2. They say, yes, you can have a long break. We have such a long break. Some people say that you can't do that. Other people want to say that the famous bracha of Asher Ga'alanu, so that's a special bracha on the Seder night after we finish at least the first section of Maggid. Okay, fine. So that's interesting about that. Another question that comes up is what can we use for Kiddush? It sounds strange. What do I mean? This is a very good question for you because none of you are 18. And you really are legally not allowed to have all of you together. No, you're not allowed to have wine. So this is fine. By regular Kiddush, we generally don't have this problem. Although, I'm sorry to keep picking on the Sfaradim. Although the Sfaradim have a problem with grape juice. Rav Avadya was not a big grape juice fan.
Yeah, you need 100%.
Exactly. You need mamish 100%. Even Kedem, he held, wasn't good. Even though the Tzelem Arav, though you give Zashkach, but the Tzelem Arav famously said, no, this is the real thing. That there is a concentrated water. There must be something there because Rav Avadya held that it's not good. And many of the grape juice, I don't know, maybe there is a grape juice out there that's okay. But my understanding is, what?
It's very hard to find.
Right. So he's very machmir on exactly how it is. Then you have another problem. Whatever, you would have a bishlakam problem as well. So Sfardim, for sure, for dalakoisis, would stay very far away from grape juice. This was a famous machlekes. Rav Moshe felt that it has to be, that a person has to use a derecheris. That it has to be derecheris. And derecheris is when you can get a little bit drunk. Rav Shlomo Zalman, for example, in his Haggadah, speaks about why we have arba kosos and not arba apples or arba or whatever. It's arba kosos because every cup gets you a little bit more happy. You know, yain yismach v'levenosh. You know, when you have wine, it makes you, and there's something to the Seder to doing that, to have a little bit more of simcha. Okay, for some people, you know, that don't drink normally like me, so by the fourth cup, my kids aren't smart. They start asking me for things for the afikoman that, you know, I'm a little bit tipsy, so I get, yeah, well, PlayStation, I don't know, what do you want, whatever, you know, want a TV? Okay, sure. So that's an interesting question. When we're discussing that, we know that the preferred type of wine is, number one, to have yayin. This is, just give me a second to explain this. Yayin that is not mevushal, because if you hold like the Rambam, going back to the Sfaradim, if you hold like the Rambam, this is on Shabbos, by Shabbos and Yontif, the Sfaradim hold, that the wine that you should use for Kiddush should be Roye L'Mizbeach. That's the whole problem with Sfaradim, say correctly, that when it comes to the chalos, the chalot that we use, so they shouldn't have any eggs in them. I'm assuming the challahs that you have don't have any eggs. They're water-based. They don't like that. Why? Because lechem mishnah should be what was royal and mizbeach. That's a big problem today when we have all different types of challahs. Maybe here it's not as popular, but in America, they have chocolate chip challahs and Soleski, right? Yeah, so they have all these different types. The ones that have onions and stuff like that, that's not as problematic, but the chocolate chip and the cinnamon and all that, that becomes interesting if you've created a situation of pasa baba kistam. Rabbi Soleski also has a shiur about this, where I think he went to school with the owner of one of the bakeries in Teaneck called Butterflake, and he said the guy wanted to he was very upset because he basically said that it's not really most appropriate to have a chocolate chip challah. Even though you can make and should make hamotzi if that's your meal, but it's not really, it's pasa baba kistam, and we're supposed to use lechem mishnah, you're supposed to do regular.
Pasa baba kistam is not, at some point it stops becoming
pasa. Correct. But when it comes to lechem mishnah, you should dafka use something that's roi for only lechem mishnah. So, and a little bit of egg, okay, the svarim say no, it should be water challah, or it should be, they use pito, or they use lafos, or they use, it's interesting because the other thing, what's that called? You know what I'm talking about?
No, it's timanis.
Temanim, so that's interesting to me because I saw how it was made and it looks actually like a pancake more, which is a little bit more passive about kissing. I'm not sure. Again, it's not because it's water and so it's very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. In any case, so that's number one. So it's better to have yain, except if you find yourself in a seder with people who are not frum. There is a question in halacha whether non frum people are considered to be, would pasel yayin that's not mavushal. First of all, important point. In Eretz Yisrael, it is very difficult to find yayin mavushal because, let's go back to Rav Avadya, where Rav Avadya is very machmir, but this time Rav Avadya joins Rav Shlomo Zalman and others who say that Rav Moshe Feinstein's heter, that you could just flash, it's not really called flash pasteurization, but really you could pasteurize it and it goes through these very, very hot pipes. And those tubes heat it up at a very high level, but it's very quick, and it changes. I don't know anything about wine, but I've spoken to professionals. I actually know a winemaker very well, and he told me 100% real winemakers. He says, not me, but the other owner of this wine vineyard in Eretz Yisrael can tell the difference. Blindfolded, he'll know the difference, mavushal, not mavushal. I was spoken to somebody who's a Baron Herzog guy. I went to a show once. And I saw this guy. He used to be. It's not important anymore. I don't know if he does it anymore. When Instagram, something was first coming out, he did wine reviews all the time. So I saw him at a thing. I said, I enjoy your thing anymore. I said, but I'm a halachic guy. I said, gotta ask you a question. You know, you always taste the wines. Do you know the difference? And he said, ooh, well, let me tell you something. The Herzog family. Yeah, he's very good friends with Herzog. He said, they know the difference. I don't know. They just try to figure out. The Sfardim / Ashkenazim, really, in Eretz Yisrael, nobody's soymich on this. And they say that so sometimes you'll see on a bottle of wine, it'll say mevushal yedei pasteurization, or pasteur is in it, right? Why? Because that's okay for the Rav Moshe people. We generally, in Eretz Yisrael, unless we moved here from America, we don't follow Rav Moshe. So therefore, it's hard to find anyway. What's the problem with using mevushal wine? So there's a question whether or not a person who's not from, we say that somebody who's mechal Shabbos is ki'ilu, he's ovid avodah zarah. And one of the two reasons why we're not allowed to have yayin that's not mavushal is because we're afraid you're going to marry the daughter. So you're allowed to marry somebody who's not frum's daughter. She may be the firmest person in the world, the biggest tzaddikah, 100%. But I was just actually reading the biography because I quoted Rav Volbi today. So he grew up in a non-frum family. In fact, I think his name is not even, he has a different, Augustus, I think it was his real first name or something like that. In any case, that's a great thing. The other thing is maybe they use it for avodah zarah. So what do we say? That maybe they're tinuk shenishbadei. So the poskim say, so different poskim say different things. So even if you have, your seder, somebody who's not frum, and you hold from this, maybe it's not even a chumrah, maybe it's the halacha, it could be problematic. It could be problematic. Furthermore, let's just say chas v'shalom, but let's say you go to a hotel, and the hotel has non-Jews there, so obviously that's even more of a problem. You're going to ask them, you can't open the bottle, so you ask them to open the bottle. It's a big problem. So that's why people, even though that's the better thing to do. The other better thing to do is to use red wine over white wine. Why? Because it's supposed to look like dam. We have, of course, the oladiyah. We also say the words, b'damayichayich, the dam of the korban pesach, the dam of the bris milah. Those are things in galim and mitzrayim. So we try to use red wine. However, once again, if you're like me and you love the girly wines, I'm a big 5% guy. So I love, what's that wine called? I'm not going to think of it now. The Moscato, but the Moscato, what's the famous one called? Bartonura. So I love Bartonura, which used to be like 45 shekel. Now it's like 65 shekel anti-Semites. And anyway, so it's so expensive, but I like that better. So some suggest maybe you could just add a little red wine, you know, in it, so it gets a little red. That's not considered to be tzviya, but that's tzviya ba'ochlim, it's mutter. Some suggest you do that. If it tastes better and you like it better, so of course you could use that. If somebody likes white wine better, listen, Rav Shechter says even on Shabbos you should use red wine over. He says, on white wine, he goes, when it comes to Kiddush Rabba in the morning, he says, the only reason why I use white wine is because I have so many in my house, because everybody always comes and doesn't know this halacha, and I have so much white wine, so I use it for Shabbos daily. I don't want it to go Baal Tashkas. But that's an interesting halacha when it comes to Dalakosis, what you should use it for.
Food color?
Yeah, you probably, because we say Ein Tzviya Ba'ochlim. I don't like it so much. I might as well not do that. Maybe as well just add a little, that. Again, the grape juice things are the Rav Soloveitchik. Rav Soloveitchik felt that it would be mutter for a person to have it. Again, I'm talking about someone who needs to have it, not stam someone. Obviously, for kids, I don't think there's a question. It's against the law to serve them anything else, and therefore I think it would be. Somebody wanted to taina. A friend of mine said to me that he tainaed that that my son is, I think his son is 14 now, and his son wanted to drink on Purim. So he thinks he's over in Aveira. So he says, can you say they're not Yotze Dalet Kosos because they're not allowed to drink? And now you're making them drink, so they weren't there. It's like they're Yotze something that's illegal. I don't know. I don't think that goes as far to say that. But okay, cute idea. There's a very interesting Chassam Sofer when it comes to the mitzvah of Maror. There are different minhagim. Everybody here can tell me what their minhag is. What do you eat? What do you have for Maror? What's your Maror thing? So the Chassam Sofer speaks about Tamcha. Tamcha probably today is horseradish. Chrein, as we say in Yiddish. What do you use for your maror? Crazy.
When?
What? Maror on Pesach?
No, but when?
Why? You have different marors? Oh, different sandwiches use different
times.
Oh, really? Very interesting. For maror, you use one thing, and for the sandwich, you use something else.
Haroset or
Menorah. I'm not sure. Right. But when you have, let's say, the Koyrich sandwich, so.
Yeah, haroset.
So really, 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 the chasa was really what was supposed to be used. Chassam Sofer writes very much against it because chasa was very problematic because chasa was filled with bugs. And we know that even here in Eretz Yisrael, regular chasa I'm talking about, that you buy in a supermarket, because we live in such a desert-oriented land, we have a lot more problems with bugs. This is something I had to only learn when I moved here. I thought it was a bunch of shtick until one day I actually opened up there's nothing. I opened up popcorn, you know, to make popcorn, and I see bugs. Literally, I started popping the popcorn. I never checked my popcorn, and I saw bugs on the top of the thing. I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. They were dead already, obviously, because I killed them by popping them. But so it turns out that that's a very hot country. It's a desert country, so we're supposed to check a lot of our things. I'm not just talking about, you know, your rice on Pesach, and we check three times, you know, those that have right?
But the white root.
Right, so that's not the original. So now so that's what the Chassam Sofer says. You should use what we call chrein, horseradish. I'm not talking about the horseradish that you buy, the red thing. That probably is much more problematic because I think it's cooked or it's a liquid that's mixed with things. People like to use it's not really radish, called horseradish. Why do they like to use the horseradish? Because it has the real merirus taste. You feel like, oh my God. The problem with it is that if we hold it, this is a question of what the kazayis is. We have the Chaim Noah and the Chazonish. We have different shitas what it exactly is. We have others who say, what is the kazayis? The kazayis is the kazayis. The times of the Holocaust, Nebuchadnezzar, when they were able to get matzah and they had very small amount. So maybe it's exactly like a kazayis, you know, or a little bit larger than the kazayis. We have that. That's nothing. What a zayit looks like. So we generally say, let's say it has to be this big. So what, you can eat a whole thing of the chrein? It's impossible. So really, so nowadays, Baruch Hashem, I think the Chassam Sofer even agree to this, nowadays that we have normal lettuce. So Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful tshuva. Rav Asher Weiss is a tshuva. He actually gave a shiur about this last week. And Rav Asher Weiss has a tshuva in Chelek Aleph Simen Mem Aleph that is basically, the topic is, Lo Nitna Torah L'malchei Hasharis. Hashem doesn't expect us to be malchei hasharis. What does that mean? The question is that, well, I now take the lettuce and I, you know, hold it up to the light and I look and I see there's no bugs. or whatever. I check it in the appropriate way that you have to check it. I'm not saying how you check it now. I'm not an expert. I can tell you that at five-star caterers in America, it's crazy what the meshkiach has to do because he uses regular romaine lettuce. But when you buy the romaine lettuce that we buy today, that's made in the special, closed houses, what is it called? The hydroponics and different things. What? Chamamot. So there, Baruch Hashem, except you have to clean them very well because they have a lot of sand on them. That's not a problem. Sometimes you have to be careful. They're infant station. Sometimes they'll report. Baruch Hashem, I haven't heard this in a while, but I remember, I'm not going to say the name, but I remember the name came out. There was one famous company, they were dishonest. They were saying it was came Chamamot. Everybody calls Yerek. They call, if you ever call a restaurant, call a Yerek Shalom Gush Katif. I'm like, in Mirza Hashem, we should be Zaycha during the war that we really should go back into Yerek Gush Katif. They're called Gush Katif. It means it's made so there's hardly any. But you still have to check. I remember one Pesach, unfortunately, we went to a hotel. And I don't check like crazy. I don't. I just make sure that they're using it. So I lifted it up and Mamish lifted it up. I wasn't crazy. I didn't use a microscope or take a magnifying glass. And I see all these bugs. And I went to the mashkiach and I was very upset. And he showed me that it actually was from a real, whatever it was, one of those birkat katif, it wasn't birkat katif, it was one famous company. I couldn't believe it. It wasn't his fault. And they were crawling all over. So, and one year they found, and this is really disgusting, but they found a frog, a little baby frog inside. I went, okay, fine. I guess it was for the Seder or something special. I get a free prize. Anyway, but the concept Rav Osher Weiss says of that, we don't expect you, even though you could, if you wanted to, you could take the lettuce and you can go under a microscope and check it. So no, that we don't require you to do. You have to have, in Reus, you have to have an eye that knows what he's looking for. Someone a Taina, for example, here in Eretz Yisrael, when it comes to strawberries, can you eat strawberries or not? So someone a Taina, no, you can't eat strawberries because you don't know how to check it. I thought I did. What do? I cut the top off and I put sabon and then you wash it, the whole thing. They said, and you still don't know because it's so difficult to find. So some would argue that you don't have to do them, eye and Reus. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a famous tshuva on this. And Rav Moshe says, he says, really, I'm talking to you now. As I'm talking to you, so many bugs are coming into my mouth. Why? Because we have microorganisms that are all over the place. This was a big question a number of years ago. Water in America, New York specifically, they said they had bugs in them. You can't see them, but they should have it. People drink up the water. And all of a sudden, the water, the bottled water comforts start to do amazing because they made this new chumra, lahalacha. People love chumras. I just tell you a funny story because we're talking about Pesach. I love this story. A person, that's such a cute story. A person is from lives in Gula by Meir Sharon, and for Pesach he's having his children over. So the wife says, we haven't had people over in a long time. The second bathroom, that toilet seat, how old that toilet seat is from, Hakamas Medina, Go to the hardware store and get the new toilet seat. So fine, the guy gets the toilet seat. He's on the bus. He's holding a toilet seat. Imagine. And he's on the bus, and a chassid comes up to him, and he goes, "Good, the chassid just left. Make fun." And he says, "Ah!" Looks at the toilet seat. "Ah, azay chumra." He says, "We found a new chumra for Pesach. You need new toilet seats. Because when you sit on the toilet, you have chumra. So that was the joke, right? We can think about it. So we don't need to make crazy chumras, right? And we know this from, if we remember from COVID, people like myself were first time we ever made Pesach. So if we have coolers, we don't have to go crazy. There's a WhatsApp group. The Rav question. You see some of the questions people ask. People are so scared. Do you have to do that? Do you have to wear? Okay. So there's certain things we've always. I grew up. Of course, you have to get a new toothbrush. Probably don't really. The toothpaste is a real lokachilas kelav. You want to tell a famous story? We have a concept of lokachilas kelav that if a kelav wouldn't eat the item, so then it's not considered to be usher. So apparently,
I would never eat toothpaste.
Right. Right, so they went to Rav Soloveitchik, and Rav Soloveitchik says, "Listen, I have a dog at home. I want to show you something." They brought the dog into shear, right, and they put toothpaste, and all of a sudden, the dog started licking it. So as a joke, the Rav Soloveitchik said, "Don't bring me a raya from a dog," right? Why is that a funny thing? It's funny because look at Chilas Kelev. So what are they really licking? They're licking because it has a sweet taste to it. They're not licking the chametz part. They like it because it has sugar or fake sugar in it, whatever it might be. That's not what we're talking about. That's why people say about medicines, if it has a good taste to it, maybe. There are people who are very, very makel. There's a rabbi in America who's no longer alive, but he had Rabbi Blumenkrantz's famous booklet. A lot of people were upset about it because they said that it's going so too far. We don't have to go crazy. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik was very makel when it came to a lot of these different things. And I think... What? Yeah, exactly. This is according to that line as well. Rav Asher Weiss felt that today, it's with Ayin Ros, and he brought different, the concept of Malchei Hasharis is written in Shas three other times, right? He says, just as an example, that we trust the Shochet when he checks his Sakin, right? He has the knife, and he has to check it. So why do we say, well, maybe he sees what he could see. But if you take a real mumcha, he can take it and see that maybe the knife after a while, it gets a sritot in it, maybe it's not good. So he says, no, masha ayin rose. Again, it has to be a good ayin. But and this is what the Orach HaShulchan says. This is what Chachmas Adam, or Shlomo Kluger says this, right? Masha ayin roa, right? Ein bo iser, right? That's what the Torah expects us to have regular eyes. And that's what Rabbi Moshe Feinstein says. He says, we're going to be machmir on this. Again, if it's something that's obvious and you just don't know what you're doing, like I said about romaine lettuce, so you say, I've never seen anything before. Let's say I'm just talking about it in whatever, let's say in America. So I don't think that's a smart thing. And you have to be careful because things change all the time. Because sometimes it is what it is now. And then years later, all of a sudden, we start to find out, oh, this vegetable now became much more infested. Or sometimes they'll have in Israel, you know, this certain vegetable, you should not use this vegetable, whatever it might be. And nowadays, Baruch Hashem, we have so many. I don't know, honestly, some of the things I don't understand. For example, corn. I'm told that corn on the cob, you're not allowed to use in Eretz Yisrael. And now they sell for like six times the price. They have Rav Machbud has that there was grown in Chamamot. I don't know. I don't know if it's really true or not, what I'm saying. I don't know. Is it corn really not good? I've never seen bugs on corn, but I don't know what I'm looking for. So maybe. But it's something to be careful with.
Rav Bagno said once that
yeah.
That when he's here for all the Americans that can't say something. So he said... Let's hear that one.
Yeah.
He said that about lettuce, they say they checked in so much that if you clean it, if you put it in water and dip it,
yeah,
three or four times,
yeah,
the bugs are done.
Mm-hmm. And it's clean. Regular water? Regular romaine lettuce?
He said lettuce.
I don't know.
If you dip it and then wash it.
I don't know. The Chamamot ones, for sure. I think they're like, there's no question about that. Let's do a few more Seder halachas. Sometimes you have the Shiloh. That's unfortunately a few Shilohs that will come up in the army this year. So one of the questions, of course, that may come up, and this is, this came up for Megillah this year, in right outside of Lebanon, for example. Right outside of Lebanon, so there are certain places, this makes a lot of sense, the moment it gets dark, they have to shut off all of their lights, right? Because the Lebanese, I remember my son's service, when he did his Sadir service, so he was on Gladiola, or whatever it was called, he was mamish on the border. So he said every night, right before, at Shkia, all of the soldiers would come out. It was one of my son's jobs. He's a what do you call it, Negevist. He would sit with the Negev, and he would point to Lebanese soldiers, pretending like they're about to shoot each other. Every night, that's what they would do, like a hatzagah, that they're about to shoot each other. And then the moment that it got dark, everybody left. But if they want to bomb you, obviously, unfortunately, we're in that time of Milchama, so there's no light allowed. So the Shaila there was, is that can you read the Megillah? So we know we're allowed to read the Megillah the day before. We know that. There's first Gemara in Megillah. But this happens to be Shabbos. And Shabbos, you're not allowed to read the Megillah. So there was a Shaila, Rav Asher Weiss said that it wouldn't be Mutar. I've heard other poskim say that it would be Mutar. So what about...
You can read it the day before that day.
You're saying you can read it on Friday even. Yeah, very good. Right. So the question, I guess, this year would be, can we start the Seder early? Can we start the Seder early? What do I mean? So in this case, let's just say that I assume nobody knows the Haggadah by heart. So
I have a kid. You don't need to say a few
stuff. Okay, in a Hanami. But okay, so they want to know, can they start early? This is the question that comes up in the old age homes. The old people, they can't now that we changed the clock. So now the Seder is going to start at the 8 o'clock. It's very hard for old people. So Shaila is what a person do. So we know that when it comes to certain mitzvahs, mostly all the mitzvahs, it's kind of funny, almost all the mitzvahs we have the gezeira of that you should have it by Tzeis HaKol Chavim. The gezeira is the tesvav. So we say that just like you have to have matzah after Tzeis HaKol Chavim, which may mean, by the way, that maybe it's only matzah, maybe not the dalakosas, maybe not the first of the kosot, maybe there is a kula for kiddush itself. So we know that I don't know if you, this is actually an American invention, I think, but here we have in Yeshul, we have early Shabbos. I don't know why people would want to do this. When I had little kids, this was a big thing, right? You make Shabbos before Plag HaMincha. So you make Shabbos at, 5:45. Then you come home, and you have benachas, you have a beautiful suda, so on and so forth. It's great. So we know allowed to do that. Exactly. Rav Tzoli B'Tzalosh B'Tzalosh B'Tzalosh, right? He used to, that's what the Gemara says. They used to make Shabbos before. So maybe you're allowed to do that. So maybe that's good. Tosef Shabbos, maybe it's a beautiful thing. Rav Moshe finds this a famous tshuva. Are we doing it for Tosef Shabbos reason? But we allow it. Sfiras Omer, you have to figure out. Fine, you have to figure out how to say Kriyashma over. Of course, there's a shul in Ramat Beit Shemesh. I'm not a fan of this. I'll tell you why in a second. That says, it could be Yotze Kol HaShitos. So here's what they do. They daven Mincha, before Plaga Mincha. They daven beautiful Kabbalah Shabbos. And then they say, okay, everybody come back at 9:30 for Ma'ariv. Yotze Kol HaShitos. Nobody says, you don't have to daven Ma'ariv before you have to do the Shabbos. What's the problem with that? I would say out of 100% of the people that come, there's probably 20% or 10% that fell asleep on the couch and they miss Ma'ariv and they miss Kriyat Shema and then they wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, I never daven Ma'ariv. I don't love it. Apparently, this is a very holy shul. Nobody does that there, but I would be nervous about that. So you probably can't make, you probably can't make early Pesach. That would be a potential problem. I had this problem this year. The question is it only by Kiddush, starting Kiddush, or is it by Matzah? That's going to be the question. But what about something else, maybe? What about Hallel? So we have the Minhag in Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to in America, there's a question. This is Rav Moshe Feinstein. I think we discussed this last week. The question about Tefillin on Chol HaMoed. So we know that in Eretz Yisrael, nobody wears Tefillin on Chol HaMoed. In America, you have people who follow the Ramah. The Ramah says that. Here in Eretz Yisrael, we follow the Minhag of the Gra, the Minhag of the Shulchan Aruch, and happen to be the Minhag of the Chassidim as well. The Arizal who says we should say Hallel at night. Right, this is a very unique thing, if you think about it for a moment. When do we ever say Hallel at night? There are actually some people on Yom HaTzmut who say Hallel at night, when I grew up with this. But this is not so popular. Shiva Flatbush does this. But we don't do that here in Shul. But in any case, we say Hallel, right? A beautiful Hallel, beautiful Mini'ima. It's supposed to be a very special Hallel. So maybe if that's something that we do, Dafka, maybe pursuing Nisa reasons, so maybe that has to be done also after. So I was in a hotel this year. It was very interesting. Last year, the hotel I was at. So the rabbi got up, and it actually said in the schedule, just making up a fake thing, 6:45 mincha, followed by the rabbi's drasha, and this is like a really, really long drasha, and Ma'ariv not before, you know, Ma'ariv at 7:45. And he got up, the rabbi, and he says, you know what, I just thought about something. It's so late already. Everybody wants to get to the Seder. The greatest thing I could ever do and be the most popular rabbi ever is if we just started Ma'ariv now. And he says, okay. And everybody's like, wow, we love this guy. You know, he's the most popular person on the Pesach program. So I was very, very, very upset, and I have not yet gotten the muster to tell him, I think, please, please don't do it this year. Why? Because we just said, on Pesach night, so the Ma'ariv, okay, first of all, you had problem number one, it's called Tata Desasre. Tata Desasre was, they started Ma'ariv actually before Shkia. It wasn't even Shkia yet. Even
they top in here before Shkia.
What? The early minyan, correct, but they daven before Plaga Mincha. And we know famously the Gemara in Bracha says there's two shitas, shitas Rabbi Yehuda, right? When does Shabbos start? Because start not Shabbos. What is the day? We say maybe Plaga Mincha. You could derry down by Plaga Mincha. So we don't do what's called Tata Desas, right? You can't live in both worlds. So you're allowed to, we hold that you're allowed to say, you know, today I'm going to hold from the shita that Plaga Mincha is the end of when you should daven mincha. So we daven mamish, we look at the time of Plaga Mincha, and we daven 10, 15 minutes before that. You can't have it both ways, though, we think. In America, they invented something called the 7 o'clock Shabbos. They have this very popular, that 7 o'clock, no matter what, they daven. It's too difficult for people to know what. So that's problematic. Why? Because what are you doing? You're davening mincha after Plaga Mincha, and Ma'ariv after Plaga Mincha. There's no shita like that. So that's a problem to do that Pesach night. What's going on here? Besides the fact I thought that Hallel can't be done after, you have to wait till probably more than Shkia. Famously, the Sfaradim follow a shita. I'm not sure what this is based on. In America, this is very popular to daven mincha Ma'ariv. What do I mean? You daven mincha and you daven arvit right after Shkia. Here in Eretz Yisrael, especially here in Mishkan Shkila, we wait like, I don't know, like 2 hours until, right, 7:45. 7:45 when Shabbos was over. I don't know how this is possible that we're davening 7:45, right? But that's this week, we're davening 7:45. 7:45 is 30-something minutes after Shkia. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Avadia writes in a tshuva. I'm so Rav Avadia tonight. Rav Avadia writes in a tshuva. He thinks that maybe even 30 minutes. Again, it depends on the time of year. This is not to be confused with people who live outside of Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes people confuse this. In America, it's different. We're closer to the equator. So the time. So he says 13 minutes. Definitely by 18, 20 minutes for sure, Laila. Rav Bagno was machmir. He doesn't think that's necessarily true. He says you should at least wait 25 minutes because it's Kriya Shema D'Oraisa. Okay. there. But I'm not talking about Shabbos, to do malachas on Shabbos.
We're waiting over half an hour.
But, right, so here we wait even more. I'm not sure. I don't know. I've never discussed it. Not my problem. The only time I've ever discussed it is when it comes to a fast day. I said, Rabbi Agno, not everybody's a tzaddik like you and could, you know, fast for 90 hours, you know, 27 hours. People want to say so you should be mekel. So I think the only night that we are very mekel is that we'll do, I think, 20 minutes or whatever, 20, 25 minutes, something like that. In any case, so even the Sfaradim say you have to wait a little bit. Or they'll say, what's the reason why they daven mincha ma'ariv like that? There's actually a shul, I'm not going to mention it, down the block. They do mincha ma'ariv every single day.
There's two?
Yeah. Oh, so why do they do that? They do that because they're afraid that people won't daven ma'ariv. But they don't want to come back. In America, this is very popular. In America, it's much more, maybe more than 20 minutes. And they also daven mincha ma'ariv. Why? Because they're afraid. That's different, though. When you have to be yoytzeh, this is the famous thing by Sfiras Omer. What do you do by Sfiras Omer? So Sfiras Omer is coming up. Sfiras Omer is coming up. All of a sudden, people want to be... It's a little bit funny, if you think about it just for a second, that when it comes to Sfiras Omer, everybody's machmir like crazy. Kriya Shema Medaraisa. We'll remember to say it later. It's a little bit of a funny thing. Maybe you should say Birchasa, but okay. So Sfiras Omer, some people want to say that maybe you could still daven your Sfaradi Mincha Ma'ariv here in Eretz Yisrael, and you say Sfira, you could say it even maybe with a bracha, because, okay, it's still with the Rabbanon. We hold the most Shittas hold this with the Rabbanon. Okay, maybe. You could be make it like that.
You could say Sfiras Omer before Shkia?
No, before Shkia, no. First year, for sure, you can't. Everybody said that. I'm not talking about for Shkia. I'm talking about it's already after Shkia. So every day after Shkia, so okay. So you could say it. The question is, can you say it with a bracha? See, if you don't say it with a bracha, the person's going to forget. If you now say the day, then you can't say a bracha anymore. So okay. So there are some shitas that say that. I'll say, no, you should wait till the appropriate time. One thing, interestingly, Heseba. Last thing we'll do, Heseba. So Heseba is a very interesting thing of the leaning, because we know that today the leaning is not so important anymore. Why? It's Rav Arshu Weiss says it's mashu simli. It's a question whether or not you forgot to do Heseba, whether or not you forgot to lean, whether or not you have to do it again. So the question is that we don't lean the way that it used to be anymore, right? There's some people go crazy over, you know, people put couches so they could lean, right? And it's not comfortable anymore. That's not the way that we don't do this anymore. So to lean a little bit is what a person to. However, Rav Arshu Weiss said, for a person, this happens a lot of times. What happens? You know, the timing was off. Baruch Hashem, the kids came home with so many different divrei Torah. It went so long. And the wife says, oh my God, the Shabbos clock went off already. And the food's going to get cold. So she runs right after Moitzi Matzah. She takes a little bit of a bite and she starts eating the matzah as she's walking. So says Rav Asher Weiss, that case, I think that, okay, we say by women, maybe they don't have to do a say, but he says, this is worse. Because this is not derech eris. Standing and walk, first of all, standing and walking generally is a problem. Especially when it comes to hamotzi, probably mazonos as well. A person shouldn't. It's like called a chila bashuk. Somebody who's just walking and eating. This is a question on halacha. I asked this for Aaron Soloveitchik once. We were in the Israeli Day Parade, and he wanted to have a snack. So he thought that it was not appropriate to walk and eat mazonos. It's not a thing nowadays. Maybe you could tina that. That's not. It's considered to seem like it's what a kelev does. He just eats it. I think nowadays it's much different. I think now we go to we are baal shuk, and people do eat on the run. People will eat a cookie while they're walking. It's not considered to be, wow, you're a horrible person. But many people say, no, you have to sit down and eat it, be koveya suda. Even if you're not washing, there's still an inyan of to be koveya suda. So it's an interesting halacha when it comes to the inyan of haseba, whether or not it's mashu simli or not. But certainly if a person is... doesn't want to be doyma lekelev, so he can't stand up and do that. This is something that happens sometimes. Are you such a great tzaddik, you want to go help your mother, but you haven't finished. You have to finish that integral part of doing that. Just one last thing I forgot to mention when we were talking about the chasa. Probably the most appropriate thing is to have the chasa. It is true that today our chasa doesn't taste anything. There's no merirus in it. Rav Asher Weiss says, so he, you know, what we call minigav osena biadena, to remember. So he has a little bit of the chazeret. He has a little bit of the horseradish. And also to have that kick in it. But he feels that really the sandwich that we have, the koirich sandwich, is not what we think it is. At least our minigav, you'll tell me what the Sfaradim do, is that we take two pieces of matzah, and we put, you know, a little bit of the charoset, and we hit it off, and then we put a little bit, and then in the middle it's a sandwich. He says that's not right. It should be more of a wrap. It should be the maror, which is the ikker, is supposed to be wrapped around. And inside is the matzah. Very interesting. Inside is the matzah, and it's interesting enough. That's where Rav Shechter holds that way as well. There's no meat. No, there's no korban pesach anymore. Yeah, so maybe it went inside. If you the hillel sandwich, as we call it. Yeah, so maybe you're right. Maybe it went inside. It was a interesting wrap. But you can put it inside. It's like a, because
how
it's
does
a
matzah go inside.
You could put it inside. It's
like you have to crumble.
Yeah, a little bit crumble.
It can be.
You could crumble.
It can be breakable.
Yeah. You're saying you can't have your laffa thing. What would we do with your laffa thing? Good question. The laffa thing would be interesting. Although it's interesting that because Rav Schachter, I think he said it, if a person wanted to have that, he thought that it would be mutter to have such a thing. Okay. Those are some of the basic halachas. Obviously, there's a lot of halachas. Just as to end off, I think it's very important that a person has to do hachanos. This is the one holiday that I know it's important to help your moms and clean the house and do all these different things. But you should open up Haggadah, have what to say at the Seder, and also know what the halachas are. I think that's a very, very important, if not equally as important, to prepare ourselves. Sometimes we prepare ourselves only for, chametz, and I think we all know, excuse me for saying this, sometimes it's not really, we're not really doing any mitzvahs. You know, if your mother says, clean out your closet. You know your closet has no chametz. What is she saying? She just wants it to be clean. Throw things out, right? Taking advantage of it, right? Clean the bookcases. We had the cleaners. The cleaners came today and cleaned the kitchen. They said, for extra money, we can clean out all the bookcases and get rid of chametz. There's no chametz on the bookcases. Stop it. Unless you're some wacko person and you're always eating and you go up to your bookcase. Rah, rah, rah. Most people don't do that. Okay?
Pretty impossible.
That doesn't mean, right. They go to the machsan up there. Okay, I don't think so. This is about when we check for chametz also. You don't have to go to crazy places that it's not going to be a person. I have an attic. Yeah, it'll go upstairs to the attic, and then there's an inside room there where we keep all of our suitcases. So what I ever ate, I hardly go in there ever. First of all, I go in there, it's like 190 degrees. I would die. I'm not eating in there. So you have to go check every single place. But maybe, right. They swing it. It happens to be. It's not a funny story at all. We once came back from camp. It's terrible. So we went to check the whole house. There's camp meaning we were away for 2 months. So we came to check the house. And I thought when we went up to my son's room in the part that's in the attic part that's closed, I thought I heard something. And I open it up and I see the entire, where all the suitcases were, is filled with pigeon something. And it's this, I'm like, oh my God, there was a pigeon in here, which was incorrect. There was a pigeon flying around there. So this was really hard for me. I had to get the pigeon out. So I got pigeon, what I thought was the pigeon out. There was another second pigeon. And I still hear the sound. I'm like, I thought I got the pigeon out. And then there was a second pigeon that was in the, where we put the laundry. It got stuck in there. It was still alive. And it was trying to fly around. So I didn't know what to do. I'm like, what do I do? So I took the whole thing and I threw it out the window, which probably wasn't smart. I could have killed somebody. And then it broke into a million pieces. And then all of a sudden, this Nebuch pigeon flew up in the air, and everything was okay, whatever. In any case, we have to know what's chametz, what's not. The joke that they always say is, don't make your wife into a korban pesach. Meaning, don't make it into such a way that you're doing cleaning that, for no reason at all. That's ridiculous. Do the cleaning that's the real cleaning, and know what the real halachas are. Psoir is Yeshua's from the chametz, which is to bring the korban pesach and meherevi amen very soon.